7.9.
Welcome to Living Extraordinary with Bishop John Guns and the St. Paul Church. Prepare your heart now to be blessed by today's message.
I'm learning something as I grow older in ministry. I'm learning that my assignment isn't to fill pews or to raise money. It's to be faithful and consistent. I've been talking to Agena about this in this season of her life, and I've been saying to her, we stay faithful in this place. We stay consistent. Faithfulness is the most important attribute of a steward. And since everybody in here, Sherrod, is an administrator, here's the real question, Lady Guns. How faithful are you? Not how gifted are you? No, Jonathan, not how gifted are you, Anthony? The question is, how faithful are you? Faithfulness is an amazing trait for people who serve Jesus. It is the trait that keeps you coming on time, in time, giving your best effort at every level in any place God puts you. Faithfulness is what you give to your job. When every day you go to this job and you give them your best effort. Faithfulness is what you give to your spouse. When you are trusted and consistent in how you relate to them, always ensuring that their needs are met. Faithfulness is what you do as a parent. When you provide your best effort to raise children in a convoluted, corrupt, and contaminated world. Faithfulness is what you do to your church. When you are given a responsibility and you embrace that responsibility with integrity and you do what you are assigned to do. What people don't get, Dan, is the Lord ain't gonna measure you for gift. He gonna measure you for faithfulness. Faithfulness is this incredible trait of people who understand what it means to truly live out the purpose of God. People, my God, I'm preaching good today. People who understand faithfulness understand that this faithfulness is unto the master. It's not unto the organization. It's not unto the church. It's unto the master. I live out faithfulness through my assignment here, but I live out my faithfulness unto the Lord. So notice, servant by nature, delegated authority, and faithfulness. So what makes you a good steward? Here it is, two things that I've done today. What makes you a good steward? Man, such an important message in today's church. What makes you a good steward? Two things. The first thing, and we see it evidenced in the text, the first thing is that the good steward discerns the master's expectations. The good steward, James, discerns, Will, the master's expectations. Gerard, Brandy, this is so important. It's important because the master's expectation was occupy until I come, earn, produce until I come back. Watch this, Carlton. Watch this, Elder Mary Scott. The master's expectation was be faithful in using what I gave you until I return. Wow. I'm learning, Sabrina, that some of the bad traits we've taken on mismanages his expectations. I started being very convicted about being late places now. About coming late to places. Because here's what I'm discovering. That's a trait of being undisciplined. I'm starting to understand that when I give my word, that keeping it is a statement of who I am. If I say I'm going to call you, I call you. I don't go 3 days and don't call you and then say, oh, I forgot. Stop looking for grace when you don't give nobody else any. Are y'all listening today? A good steward doesn't take lightly the expectations of their master. They don't treat the expectations with disdain. They understand that as an administrator of God's kingdom and as an administrator of God's gifts, my assignment Anthony, is to discern his expectations of me. Larry, many deacons in many churches do not get this. They don't understand that when they have hands laid on them, they are no longer their own. They now have been called to something bigger than them. And so we think that because I don't feel like it today, I don't have to. But when you are operating from somebody else's authority, here's the bigger question. Do you understand, Johnny, your assignment to him? Sometimes integrity is the most important thing you have when nothing else is working. When nothing else is working, a good name will protect you. Preach, man. When nothing else is working, guess what a good name will do? It'll keep you from messing up. Because when your name is good, you'll get access to stuff that your gift won't let you in. God, I'm preaching good today. And here's where some of you need to protect yourself. Don't protect your gift and forget about your name. Don't do anything at all costs to get your opportunity. And then when you get it, people say, she'll do anything for a platform because she'll cut your throat. No, because I discovered whenever you cut folk's throat, you always got enemies out there lurking. Don't ever do anything to get anything. Have boundaries and limits. Come here, Joseph. Joseph said, I can have everything in my master's house but Potiphar's wife. I can touch everything, but I can't touch her. And if I touch you, then it doesn't matter how good I've been at administration, because now I lose the favor of God. And I don't want to lose God's favor. So I would rather you not speak to me than I lose the favor of God. And Joseph ends up in prison because they lied on him. But integrity has a GPS system, and if you're faithful to God, he will come get you in your season. And so the Joseph in jail ends up being Joseph in the palace. Anybody getting this today? When you are faithful, Miles, as a young man, if you learn this lesson, you will be so far ahead of the crowd. When you learn the value of discerning the master's expectations. But what are some of the master's expectations for us? Let me give you three. One, to be a generous giver, beginning with the tithe. The master expects you to be a generous giver. He expects you to be a giver. He expects you to generously give. Two, or B, obey without compromise. The word of God is replete with verses and stories and examples of obedience without compromise. And three, faithful use of gifts no matter what we face. I'm discovering more and more and more and more in my 32 years of ministry that Aaliyah, the faithful use of my gift is vital. Let's go back to those three. Generous givers, beginning with the tithe. Obey without compromise. And faithful use of gifts no matter what we face. Here's what I've discovered, Josh, over the years. When you are faithful to God in the use of your gift, there will be seasons, Hope, where your gift don't appear to be working. There will be times when, Sister Brown, it doesn't appear, Brother Brown, that you're getting anything done. That Ashton, you're just laboring and working, and that you just seem like you're just investing space and energy, and you're tired and exhausted. You're going, God, I'm doing all I can. I'm trying the best I can. Nothing seems to be working. Nothing seems to be going anywhere. Is there something wrong with me? Have I failed you? And Papa, there will be these awkward moments where you'll just be giving your time, giving your energy, giving your space with no progress, no obvious evidence remnants of movement, and you'll just be giving away and giving away, Sister Joy, and giving away and serving and giving away and giving away and pressing and pressing and prodding and pushing and trying to give your best, and it seems like nothing is working, then out of nowhere you have explosive growth. Here's where it came from. Because you were faithful in sowing, God had to set the soil up to manage the quality of your harvest. Here's where some of you are. You're in this faithful season. You're in this season where you're giving him your best. You're in this season where, Callaway, you're trying to change and your circle ain't with you at the level you are. You're in this awkward season where you've thrown yourself all into the things of God and other people appear to be saying, girl, it don't take all that. And you, all you hear God saying is, I got to be faithful. So you're showing up when others aren't showing up. And now that some of your crew has kind of become flimsy, that's the season of testing who you really are. Who you really are as a spouse is when your spouse can't give you nothing back, but you determine that you're going to protect your vows because you understand that your assignment is to be faithful. It's when you are the only one who shows up to minister, or you're the only deacon on the row, or you're the only deaconess, or you're the only musician, or you're the only singer, or you're the only preacher, and everybody else is doing what they want to do, and you would rather sit there and say, I don't feel like it today because I'm tired of doing it by myself. But I need you to look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, if you stay faithful to God will send you help after a while, and by, I need somebody to stay encouraged today because God has not forgotten about your faithfulness. You have not been put to the side. Papa, he knows everything you had to go through, and he remembers you in your season. That's why you don't need to let anybody discourage you today and tell you that God does not pay attention to you. Yes, he does. He knows where you are. He knows what you're doing. He knows where you're going. He knows what you're going through. And if you are faithful, be ye steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For we know that our labor is not in vain. Here's the power, is that when you discern the master's expectations, you are a generous giver. And you begin with the tithe, you are obedient without compromise. And you faithfully use the gifts no matter what you face. Here's the last point today, and this is very, very powerful. Here it is. A good steward disciplines yourself by following the process ordained by the master. A good steward disciplines themselves. Everyone say discipline. Oh, what a tough word. Man, if we were disciplined, wouldn't nobody be chubby in here. Even us big-boned folk. Huh? Because for most of us, we ain't this size because we want to be. It's just that we have Thanksgiving more than once a year. Some of us do, not me, right? If you were more disciplined, you would get up at 5 in the morning and go exercise. Anybody, how many of y'all have started multiple exercise regimens, multiple eating regimens, multiple health regimens, and you do good for a little while? Let me see the hands of everybody. I know I got some help in here. Come on, wave them at me. You know what I'm saying? We just start, and we do good for about a good week and a half. And then all of a sudden, we say, you know what? I've been doing so good for 3 hours, I'm going to have a cheat day. I'm going to have a cheat day. And the cheat day evolves into a cheat week. Right? Discipline. How, But man, if we were more disciplined, there would be things that people would try to say to us that we wouldn't respond to because we're too disciplined to respond to that. Huh? I've learned one thing about discipline. Discipline helps you stay out of stuff that's got trouble written on it, and your flesh is so craving it, and the Lord is saying stuff like, you don't want to go there. I love God's response to Cain. God says to Cain, Cain, sin is crouching at your door. But you can defeat it if you want to. Someone say discipline. Discipline keeps you out of things, but here's the other thing discipline does. You ready, Aaliyah? It keeps you doing the right things when the right things don't seem to be working. Wow, Tony. Here's the power of discipline. Discipline makes you a great musician. Because the great musician is separated not by the initial impartation of gift, but by the continual investment of preparation. Wow. There are many gifted athletes, but what made Larry Bird better than most of them? He couldn't jump. He couldn't run. But he would take 1,000 shots a day. Herschel Walker was considered one of the greatest running backs in the history of football and never lifted a weight. What made him amazing? He did 1,000 push-ups every day. They said, Sherry, this man was so relentless till every morning he got up and did push-ups. And he did push-ups until his body fat was less than 1% during his playing days. Discipline. Discipline is what makes you a great leader. Great leaders are people who trust processes and who stay faithful and focused. And even when things get difficult, they believe in who they're called to be and they stay faithful to it. Discipline, preach, man. Discipline is where great stewards are. Great stewards are not just gifted people. And nobody misunderstand me. I'm glad that you're gifted. But here's the difference, Z. There are a lot of amazingly gifted singers, but they don't have the discipline of the task, of the craft. They're not committed to the craft. And so they don't really work at it. They don't understand that you got to make investments to really be great at a certain level. There are many preachers who can hoop and holler and do 1,000 runs, but they're not disciplined in study and they're not disciplined in the work. And so while they may be good at the holler, they're poor at the craft because they're not disciplined. People who do amazing things do it, James, out of discipline. And let me say this. Anybody that's ever read the book, The Tipping Point? Anybody ever read The Tipping Point? Everybody in this room needs to go get The Tipping Point. It's by Malcolm Gladwell. Go get the book. Go get the book, The Tipping Point. If you're trying to do anything significant in your life, go get the book, The Tipping Point. Go get it and read it. Go get it and read it. People, listen. Can I have 30 seconds of arrogance, Mother Yurdy? Here's my 30 seconds of arrogance. I am known around the country. Some of you wonder, why does he preach all the time? And why is he gone? Well, I'm known around the country as being the most brilliant thinker in preaching today. That's how people know me. Whether that's true or not, it's not marketed or branded. I've never created it. But my peers see me as the most brilliant thinker, not preacher. You know the difference. The most brilliant thinker in the body of Christ today. They say John Guns thinks at a level none of us think at. And so watch this. Watch this. But what people don't understand was when I was a little boy, I stuttered really bad. bad. I stuttered really, really bad. And so called to preach with a stuttering situation made it difficult. And so when I started preaching, I still kind of wrestled with stuttering. So there were times I would stutter in the pulpit. My brother did something interesting. I was a student at Norfolk State. He put a $20 bill in my psychology book. I was complaining that I didn't have any money. Miles, you may want to try this, son. I was complaining I didn't have any money. And my brother let me complain for a month. And then one day, he called me. He said, John, I noticed that you ain't never got no money. I said, yeah, man, I ain't never got no money, man. Mom and dad won't give me no money. And I got this little piece of job, and ain't nobody helping me. My brother says, John, go to page 20 in your psychology book. I went to page 20. Now, mind you, it was the middle of the semester. I should have been passed. Okay. Y'all ain't, Connie, you're an educator. I should have been passed. Page 20. In page 20, there was some money. My brother had put money in this book, and he wrote on the book, it pays to read. Okay. At that moment, every book I open, I'm looking for money. Okay. I'm trying to help you. Well, people say, John, you're a brilliant thinker. John, you're an amazing thinker. Here's the difference. I started reading so much until I expanded my mind. My way of thinking has been expanded by the discipline of reading. Y'all ain't getting this. Watch this, Chris. My commitment to reading has expanded my mind. And because my mind is expanded, I get to preach all over the country. Why? And when I preach all over the country, guess what they give me? They give me a check, okay? Missing you, come get me. Here's what's crazy. If I ever lost my job here, I would still have income there because my gift makes room for me. Okay, some of y'all gonna sit there and you gonna miss it. I'll shop by myself. Because I understand the power, Cicely, of discipline in reading, it's expanded me as a preacher. So what are you supposed to be disciplined in that God can use to expand you, to make you greater than you've ever been? If you are an effective steward, you must become disciplined in practice and preparation. In your discipline, Agena, you become an excellent principal. It's the ability to know what it takes. Some people could be great teachers, but they don't work at it. They have just simply mastered the system. They go in and they treat life like it's a pickup game. But I need you to tell your neighbor, I'm in the Super Bowl of my life. I can't sit around here acting like it's a pickup game. I gotta operate at my highest level every day of my life because God expects me. You're not a failure, you just don't work hard at it. You ain't a failure. You just need an alarm clock. Man, when you in purpose, ain't nobody got to wake you up. Assignment wakes you up. Passion wakes you up. And I got a feeling some of y'all ain't bumped into that. That's why you still hit the snooze button. But can you holler at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, but when you're a good steward, you work at it. So watch this. So here's the process. The process was simple. He said, occupy. The Lord gave him the process, meaning that, watch this, the stewards had to understand the economy, and they had to understand how to work the system. The master defined the process. And he directed their actions. Jesus Christ is our process. And he defines our actions. And if we are faithful and obedient, he will be faithful to us. Well, let me close with good news today. Here's good news. You ready for the good news? Tell your neighbor, here's good news. When you're faithful to the process and you're obedient in all things, God will reward you. Okay, I thought I was going to get some excited people here, April. I said, when you're faithful to the process and you're obedient to the assignment, God will reward you. Dan Smith, I know God's got a reward for you because you're faithful to the process and you're obedient to the assignment. Can you look at somebody and tell them, and it ain't going to always be easy. Deaconess Loretta, Deaconess Flowers, it's going to be challenging sometimes. But if you're faithful to the assignment and obedient to what God has called you to, God will reward you. Look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, I got great news for you today. God will reward you. And so some of you just need to be reminded today that life is about to get better, because the master has not forgotten about you. For those of you who labor in the vineyard, and sometimes you wonder if people understand the cost of it. Brother Young, here's great news. God has not forgotten about you. And God will reward you in due season. And so for every one of you that's been wondering, when is my season coming? I need you to tap yourself on the shoulder and say, neighbor, stay encouraged today. Come on, tap yourself and talk to yourself and say, neighbor, stay encouraged today. Because the God I serve will not forget about you. He's so faithful till he'll cover you until it's your season. So understand that God has already worked it out. And whatever you need, God will remember you. I gotta get out of here. But shake somebody's hand and say, neighbor, let me encourage you. For everything that you're going through and for everything that you're trying to do, if you're doing it to please God, God is able. Ain't he able? God is able. Ain't he able? God is able. Ain't he able? He's able to reward you. So lift up your hands and tell God, I ain't going nowhere. I'm going to stay faithful until my season comes. And one of these mornings, it won't be long, you're going to look for me and I'll be gone. I'm going up to heaven to sing and shout, and there'll be nobody there to put me out. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, is there anybody that want to see Jesus? Shout yeah! Shout yeah! Yes! Everybody stand, I'm finished. Do not be discouraged in your faithfulness. He will reward you twice. He will reward you here, but there's a bigger reward coming. He will reward you over there. For many people, they've mismanaged the stewardship assignment. They've mishandled this faithfulness thing.
This has been Living Extraordinary with Bishop John Guns. Join us Sundays in worship at 3738 Winton Drive, Jacksonville, Florida, 32208. Visit us online at www.spmbcjacks.org for service times and more.